Vectis Radio, home of the Isle of Wight phone-in. Call now.
All right, so you may have realised that there is going to be an election taking place on May the 2nd, local elections taking place May the 2nd, just in a few weeks' time. So we'll be talking to as many councillors or prospective councillors as we possibly can. Today we've got three independent councillors in. We've got the old Silver Fox in, who is... how long have you been in politics, Ian Stevens?
Since 2001, I was first elected to the Isle of Wight Council in 2001, but okay. Right the way through. And as I say, it's something that I went into because I thought I could do a little bit better than the other guy. And you know, so this is what motivates people, I think, is to see if they can make an improvement in their local community.
Well, do you know what? For the last few years, I've been moaning and groaning, and so has everybody else, moaning and groaning. And I say to those people that have also been moaning and groaning, well, either put up or shut up. And we've got two guys that are putting up, and they're obviously you know, trying for the first time. But it sounds like you've got a lot to offer. So, first of all, Vincent Valvona, Vinnie Valvona, the film star. let's just hear from you the reasons again why you're actually standing, why you're actually, you know, you've been, I don't know, wound up enough, become passionate enough, or you know, just fascinated enough to want to put your name forward.
Yeah, it is sort of passionate enough. I mean, I don't like what's happening, what I'm seeing. It's all kind of negative, and there's nothing positive going on. And I'm just really fed up with it. And I look around and I think, well, I could do better than that. So perhaps it's my time to have a go and put myself forward. I mean, I like to think I come up with ideas, or if I don't, I can spark ideas off of other people. That's often what happens. You know, if you're into an open group or with other people, you say, well, this is what I think. And what do you think? I mean, I'm trying to set up a Facebook page, and I want people to effectively tell me what they want. If I'm going to represent them, I think this idea of putting policy out up to a point is okay, but really you should be telling your prospective representative what you want, what is important to you, because, you know, we don't live your lives, so we don't know what you're putting up with and what the potential problems and solutions are, apart from the big ones, of course, that affect most of us.
It's refreshing to hear, it really is. Just tell us quickly your background, because people want to say, right, okay, you're an ordinary bloke off the street, but what's your background?
Well, I started off in electronics and software. I'm now a chartered engineer in software. I've been involved in research and development for mostly in avionics and whatnot. I work with another local company in Newport called Avio Systems, and we've designed a marine intercom system which we sell to workboats and super yachts all over the world. I do consultancy, which sounds more grandiose than it is, to be honest. It doesn't pay that well if you're not doing too much of it. But I just love solving problems. You know, if I see a problem, I try and come up with a solution to it. You know, I don't just sort of fob it off to somebody else. And even though my idea may not be the best, it might spark someone else saying, no, that's no good. But if you do this, we could have a result here.
Definitely. Let's come to Phil then. Phil's standing for the very first time as well. So what's first of all, what triggered you to think, right, okay, I'm going to get off my backside and I'm going to stand?
Yeah. The first thing is I live and work in Ryde, Ian, and very much love the town that I live in. I'm involved in social care, actually. Been involved for 15 years now. And what started my concerns off were the cuts we were seeing in social care to particularly the older vulnerable groups of people on the island, who were losing the care and support that they not only deserve but needed. And that started me to think about maybe these cuts are going too far. And every morning I drive to work, bumping across holes in the road, try and park the car, very difficult, certainly on the road, as there's parking issues in around Ryde Town Centre. And seeing sort of deterioration around the town. And the election was coming up, and I thought, as Vincent said and Ian said when he first started, there's something here that maybe I could make a change and a difference and improve the lot of the people for the people of Ryde anyway.
Good. You mentioned cutbacks. I mean, you know, bringing in now and say we all know that, you know, there have been national cutbacks, you know, from central government. But, you know, the local council that have been in place in the last couple of years, did they have a choice to, you know, because obviously they've made a lot of people unhappy with where they've made the cutbacks and vulnerable people were suffering. But did they have any choice?
We're going back a couple of years. When it was decided by the Isle of Wight Council to, if you like, enlarge leisure centres and modernise leisure centres, there was a choice then of actually saying, do we need to invest £6.5 to £7.5 million into that, with a business case which was mostly reliant on increased footfall. Now, if you look at the situation there, £6.5 to £7.5 million, whether you borrow it or whether you've got it in your back pocket, it's a big commitment. And it's a big commitment to actually say, we're going to get our money back in X amount of time. Now, the independents put forward a budget during that year whereby we took the £6.5 to £7.5 million. It was £7.5 million in actual fact, and we put £1.5 million towards leisure centres and upgrading leisure centres and keeping them, if you like, health conscious and workable. And the other £6 million we took, and when the cuts were mooted for the libraries, the Waterside Pool, don't forget, the Waterside Pool was in Ryde, was down for closure until the community group came forward. That was going. And if you remember, that was voted for en bloc in the Conservative budget of that year. That was going one of the cuts. Now, the independent budget that we put forward, instead of investing wholesale into leisure centres, would have kept the Waterside Pool, West White Swimming Pool, and indeed the tourist information centres that were closed, and the lifeguards on the beaches, the libraries, and umpteen other things going, which would have saved, I believe we were talking over 100 jobs would have been saved. Now, we, over a period of time, we've lost about 340-odd jobs. That's to earlier this year, I believe.
That's a lot of people. Is that within the council?
Yes.
That's 300 and... That is a lot of people. And you're saying that with your budget, because your budget was obviously totally different to the one that was instigated by the Conservative Council, would have saved those jobs?
I'm not saying that it saved all the jobs. We're realistic, Ian. We were realistic right the way through. We knew there should be cuts. I mean, people understand. What we'd have said, we didn't want cuts. What we wanted to do, if you like, was modernise and evolve services. The money that we would have utilised would have actually allowed for the evolving of services and, if you like, changing the way we work over a period of time rather than cutting them off dead.
OK, we've got a call coming through. So, you guys ready for a call?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate, it's only me.
Hello, Mark, how you doing?
All right, mate, OK. Hello, chaps.
Hi there.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark.
You all right, Steve?
Yep, fine, go on.
Hang on,
right,
who's Steve?
Listen, that's the only thing I want to ask. Like, all of you, really, because I really do hope you take off, you lot, and you get this load of crap you got in there out. If you did get in and you had a majority, could you do a pay review of the top 10 people in that council and renegotiate their contracts?
With regard to that, going back, once again, talking about the budgets, we 2 budgets ago, we actually put forward ideas and policies that would actually review the pay structure. But it would also mean that we'd have to realign, if you like, heads of service. And what we really need to do there is a total, if you like, root and branch review of service and finance of the council. You couldn't just get rid of things willy-nilly, because what we need to do is make sure we do things in a purposeful way, a positive way, and something that we're not going to do, which we might well have to unpick at a later date. What we would be against is these judicial reviews and things where someone's leapt in and done something and then suddenly it's come back to bite the council and cost us money.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you've been paying a fella up there $150,000 a year, who's walking away with a lovely bonus. He says he's going to retire. He ain't retiring. He's been made redundant. He's walking away with $13,000. I mean, things like that have got to stop, haven't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Things have got to stop, but we need to look at the pay structure. We need to look at the roles and responsibilities. I think that what we've got at the moment are strategic directors who have got a vast remit, and sometimes that tends to slow down the advance of the departments within council. And I think that, you know, what we need to do is start to look at that and look to see where we can put responsibility more to heads of service than onto the strategic directors who have got the vast amount
exactly,
of money.
That's what I'm saying. You've been paid. Now his job is going to go to people in the council, obviously, or someone else in the council. So you've been paying him bugger all. You've been paying him for doing bugger all, really.
I can see where you're coming from. I can see where you're coming from.
It's common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
If he's walking away with another $13,000 in his pocket, mind you, and his nice little pension, what have you been paying him for?
2 years ago, once again, we put forward a budget which was actually to take away the chief executive of the Isle of Wight Council and put a shared chief executive with another organisation. Now, that didn't actually mean that we would go to a mainland county council or a shire council or a unitary. We would have actually looked locally. There are local chief executives of companies and organisations, right, and we could have done a joint venture with them.
Exactly. And I've been saying this for ages to Ian and whatnot. I keep knocking on about it. If they're in that job, I'd put a cap on their wages of $70,000. Now, $70,000 a year on the island's good money. I don't care who you are.
Do you ever see? Sorry to cut across your mind. I just want to ask this question.
Mate.
Do you ever see just say for instance, if you got in power, would there be a cap on the amount that people can earn within the council?
I think that we'd obviously have to look at that, and I think that we wouldn't be paying exorbitant salaries. I think that the whole situation is that if you get value for money, you're talking about a multi-million pound industry with the Isle of Wight Council. You're talking about CEOs who are earning vast amounts of money and indeed strategic directors. If you're getting, as in outside industry, the results, then there's an argument to say that you should be paying possibly top dollar. Now, not anywhere near more than the Prime Minister of this land, but I'm talking about top dollar for someone who's actually going to move heaven and earth and make the Isle of Wight a place where we've got full employment, etc., and good services.
Can I just say as an ordinary person off the street, I reckon I speak for a lot of people when I say I'm looking in through the council window, and over the last 10 years we've had chief execs that have blundered their way through the job. Some have been paid off, some have been just blimmin' awful. The current guy, I don't really know too much about. All I know is I get the feeling that he's come down, he's made cutback after cutback, he's taken his wedge, and he's going to take that wedge and go and retire in Wales, and we, the islanders, will have to pick up the pieces. Now, over the last 10 years, I'm pretty right, I think I'm right in saying that the people that have taken on the job of chief exec have all come from the mainland. Do you ever see an island person doing the job? Because I feel that we need an islander to do the job, because who knows the job best? An islander. And I bet you that there's an islander out there that would do the job for less than £100,000, certainly less than what Steve Bynum has been on for the last 4 or 5 years.
I would like to think that we have got, and I know we've got talent. We've got the talent on this island to raise the game. Of course we have. I mean,
you've got the expertise.
Absolutely.
Over there. You've got the talent over there. You've got everything over there going for you. The only thing you ain't got is people who care, who want to get in there and look after things like you lot do. That's what you haven't had. And there's one other thing. Like you just said, it's an industry. The council's an industry. Well, I put this to the old pew boy one day. I said, right, why don't you take your dustbins, your dust rounds and all that back under the council wing. Why pay a firm to earn money? Because that firm ain't doing it for money, for nothing. They're earning money. Do you know what he said? The council's not in the business of making money.
No.
Now, what a load of crap.
Can I just say that there's something that's slightly awry with that thought. The council, if we could break even, you know, would be fantastic. But what we really need to do is to look at that. There are scrap dealers and everything else that actually go out and collect the scrap, and if you like, take it off island and make vast amounts of money. Now, I'm not saying that that's because, to be quite honest, I haven't looked in depth at this. But looking at it from the outside, probably the same as yourself, you start to think people are making a living, people are making a small fortune on actually taking rubbish to the mainland.
Exactly.
Mm. and selling it. Now, why don't we start to be part of that? Why don't we start to...
Years ago, my old man was a dustman. What he used to do, if he had any rags, any metal, and it was called chow's money.
He wasn't Lonnie Donegan, was he?
Yeah.
Well, no, but it would... Ian, he'd boost his wages.
Absolutely,
he'd
I couldn't agree more.
He'd boost his wages up and he'd knock that out. But what Lambeth done, they bought them rights off of the dustman. Okay? Why? Because they started selling it themselves and making money.
I think
now, if you took it back on the island, and Ian bangs on about this all the time, you could be a thing of excellence. Well, you could be on the island. You want to be an eco-island. Well, set your own sorting lot out.
See, I've always sort of said, we had this plan of bringing in all these wheelie bins, and yet we'd ship all this plastic to the mainland. If we'd have had just a little bit of foresight and pump a little bit of cash in, we could be making our own bins. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be, you know, sustainable. We can be making our own bins. It's just joining up the dots.
Exactly, and that's where the independence come into it. And as that guy said just now, sorry, what's his name? The engineer.
Oh, well, me, Vince, yeah.
All right, yeah. Vince. It's just like what you said there, mate. You know, you bounce ideas off of each other. Now, if the island can start making money for itself and not subbing it out to bleeding biffer and left, right and centre and consultants, I mean, you made me laugh there. You said you do a bit of consultancy work. You don't earn that much out of it. That bleeding lot that go on the island do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Right. I'll leave you with all that, but I wish you all the very best, each and every one of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Mark.
Good
Cheers.
Luck.
Bye. There's lots there we could talk about. I don't want to, you know, carry on too much about Steve Bynum and the amount of wages that he earns. But I mean, my own opinion is we need a council that is sustainable. The wages need to be sustainable. And I just feel that if you've got, you know, 10, 12 people that are on £100,000 plus, I think that's where we need to make cutbacks. I'm fed up of hearing mainlanders coming over to the island and earning astronomical wages, but not, you know, I don't mind if they come across and do some good. When was the last time we had a chief exec that was value for money? I can't remember one. Can you?
I can remember that Mike Fisher was chief exec and he was the county solicitor, so we doubled up and we grew someone through through our own system here.
Yeah.
These are the things. We're bringing someone in, and I think the caller was right. Bringing someone in to the island, we need someone who, and I always said this when I was away working with BT and what have you, that there's an island mentality and there's an understanding of the island, and it's entirely different across the other side of that stretch of water.
Sure.
And I think that what we need to do is stop looking at cuts and looking at a half-filled glass, raise our eyes above the rim, look out there and see the opportunity. And the opportunities for this island and for the people and the talent on this island is quite considerable, and I think that's where we need to go, is just to stop looking in where have we got to make a cut because we've only got X amount. We've got to actually start to look where we can invest, look where we can actually, if you like, engage and take things forward. And I think, to me, it's very, very important to do that. It's not what we haven't got in the glass, It's what we've got just a little bit around us, and we can actually pull together and make this island buzz. We can make this island sing, and I really believe that.
Now, you come across as someone that knows what they're talking about, someone with experience, and it's good that you've encouraged and you brought two guys along with you today that have never done this before. So they're obviously going to need your expertise, your support. But I mean, the good thing is, and I'm guessing that they will be able to, if they get voted in, they will be able to take things upon them, and they won't be silenced. No. They won't be you can't do anything, you have to go through me. They'll be allowed to get on with what they're supposed to do. Do you feel, in all honesty, I'm going to ask all three of you this, do you feel that the councillors that we've currently got in place, whether they're Tories, whether they're Lib Dems or anything else, do you feel that they've been able to do a job? Because I'll tell you what, I'm sat here and I'm thinking, I used to be quite switched on with the Isle of Wight. I still think I am, but there's half the councillors out there that I've never heard of, I've never spoken to, they've never replied to any of my emails that I've sent and so on and so forth. There is a reason for that. My reason, I think, is they've been gagged, and they're not allowed to talk to us. Will you not? You know, I say when you if you get in power, will you be able to give these guys the freedom to look after their flock?
Ian, if that was not the case, if I couldn't allow these people to get out there and talk as they wanted to talk, I wouldn't be sat where I am. This is the people that I've met who want to be part of an independent cause on this island are engaging, intelligent people. They are not school children. They should not be gagged. They should be allowed to speak. And my job is to manage. It's not to run the show. Hmm. And I think that this is part of the problem that we've had with, if you like, party political groups that have to try and run the show. You don't have to run the show, you man-manage, and you man-manage and get the best out of your team. And we've got a hell of a team, I'll tell you that, and I just hope good. That the people on this island start to realise what good we can do and get out and everyone vote for the people that actually stand alongside me. And I really mean that. We've got ideas on where we're going to go. Of course we have. And Vincent's quite right when he says that he's going out to the community as well. Because together with what we've already thought about, and what is coming through from the local communities, is something that's strong, it's something that's good, and it's something that we can actually find invigorating. And I'll leave it at that, but as I say, as far as I'm concerned, these guys here and the girls and the ladies that we've got as well, they're a phenomenal bunch, I'll tell you that.
Good. My own town councillor ignores me. My own councillor ignores me. I've done nothing to upset her whatsoever. I've invited her in to plug her business and plug what she's doing in the community, and she hasn't even got the decency to return my emails that have been sent out numerous times. Hi, who's this?
It's Humpty.
Hello, Humpty. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just phoned up to say what a lot of sense your two guests are talking. I really passionately believe that the island this time round needs independent council.
You meant Phil as well, didn't you? There's three of them.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he's getting upset. he took his headphones off. He's thrown them down on the floor. He's gone out. Come back, Phil. Sorry, Humpty.
Yeah, I normally have that effect on people. Nothing changes there, does it? But no, my local councillor came round this week. I was amazingly doing a bit of gardening in the front garden, actually, which is unusual in itself. But so I got sort of like, I know her actually, so I didn't mind having a chat with her. But she's standing for the Conservatives, which I think is a shame, really, because she has actually done quite a lot of good in Ventnor Town. There's quite a lot of major projects she's done, and I think she's a passionate sort of local community sort of person. But when I sort of said to her, I said, well, I understand where you're coming from, but I said, unfortunately, I've never been a Conservative voter, and I don't think I ever will be. She said, oh, well, I don't think we should really bring politics into sort of local government and what have you. I'm only sort of like a Conservative with a small C. And I thought, well, but you're still a Conservative, aren't you? And then when I tackled her a bit about our esteemed leader, Mr. Pugh, which some people love, some people hate. We're not going to get into that. I don't really want to get into that. She was then waxing lyrical about what a wonderful young man she is and how people don't realise how much he works hard for the art. I thought, well, yeah, she's not conservative then, is she? I mean, I really think, perhaps it's a daft thing to say, you tell me, but I really think real grassroots local government doesn't need politics. It doesn't need a person standing for that party, towing the company, corporate line, you know. It needs a fresh-thinking, independent-minded person who just wants to go out and do his best for the island. That's what
I think you're right, Humpty, and thanks for your call. As I say, about sort of 8-9 years ago, I remember doing a phone-in at another radio station with our MP, Andrew Turner, and I said that exact same thing you've just said, but I went a little bit further and said, if we just removed all the colours and just let people get on and represent the people that voted them in, I think this world would be a better place. The country would certainly be a better place. And he actually agreed.
And look
at what he's done this year. He's gone against his own party 3-4 times on various different occasions. Mm. Yeah, it is good for him, but it just goes to show you that that the independent thing is growing. You know, maybe he should become an independent and just... Because, I say, he's going against his own party. I can pluck a couple of ideas out there. He went against David Cameron on the hanging situation. There was something else about the way policemen are treated as well, and so on and so forth. I could go on about that, but he went against his own party, and it just goes to show that if you can do that once or twice, then it shows that that party probably isn't the party that people think it is, and maybe independence is a thing of the future, because you're not handcuffed, you're not cuffed, you're not told what to think, what to say. Now, we've got quite a number of councillors that are Conservative that I feel have not been vocal enough. They haven't looked after their flock purely and simply because they're not allowed to.
Yeah, and that's wrong, isn't it? That's not what it's about, in sort of my opinion. You know, it's because, I mean, make no mistake, I mean, we don't want to make things look too gloomy to people who are listening off the island, but I mean, the island is in quite a desperate strait at the moment. I know quite a few people who are sort of like thankfully employed, but nobody's happy. You talk to anyone, it doesn't matter what job it is, especially if it's got something to do with the council, which my job does in a certain way, although not directly. But I've got a sister who works in the NHS, I've got another sister who works in the property market, and nobody's happy. I've never known such... I think you said in your preamble to the phone-in that everyone's to be so depressed, and we really need something. It can't be beyond the might of sort of men and women to pull ourselves out of it. You know, you can't magic money from nowhere, but you can magic better ideas and better ways of spreading the money about, can't you, surely?
Well, if I can... in my... flyer, which is more like War and Peace, I'm sorry, but for anyone who might have to read it, I do stress we got such a lot going for us. I mean, I work in business and engineering, and there's so many small companies. We're actually doing quite well. I mean, we had trouble getting some of our components made. Sorry, mate, we're just too busy to do that. There is work here. You've got the likes of... what's his name, who used to run the Hammer until last week, but who pours money in. There's investments, there's entrepreneurs here who can get us out of this if we let them. It isn't as bad as people make out.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there are the key issues that we need to tackle. I think it's obviously we are an unemployment black spot. We do have issues with the ferries. I mean, everyone had issues with the ferries since the year dot. We also recently, and this is something for you guys to take away and maybe think about, you know, when you get in, fingers crossed that you will, you'll be able to address the bus prices as well. We had a family of people come down from the mainland, and they were totally, totally shocked on how much they were actually spending on travelling around the Isle of Wight on a bus.
Can I just interrupt you for a minute, Ian?
Bob? Go on.
about the bus prices, this is something else that I think Mark was touching on in a roundabout way. I can't understand for the life of me why, I know it's not the Isle of Wight Council's problem, it's a national thing, but why you would deregulate the bus services, so someone like Southern Vectis comes along and they are now running their services for quite some time now as a private company. So, of course, they're quite happily run buses from Rye to Newport and Rye to Cowes, ones that make a lot of money. And then they turn around to the council and say, well, if you want buses out sort of nighting at all, or you want buses out nighting after 3 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon rather, you're going to have to pay that through subsidy. Well, that's madness, isn't it? Because if it was a private company, or if it was run by the council, and that money was ring-fenced, you'd then have all the money that the main routes made that you could pump into the, like, the community services that sort of don't make money. It's madness. It seems so simple to me, but it's this great Tory idea that I've never agreed of privatising stuff. I just don't understand it. It's beyond me. But then I'm just a simple lorry driver.
Can I just say that, you know, the Isle of Wight Council does put forward money into routes that need to be subsidised. Mm. What we probably need to do is to sit down on a more regular basis and talk with the bus company and indeed other providers. Going back 2 years, the district of Ryde South West, as it was then, now it's now Ryde West, lost its bus route. It was withdrawn. I did a business case, and I also spoke to Andrew Uni. You might know Andrew or not. He's Ryde Cars. And Andrew came up with, he would provide a minibus free to the district between certain hours to allow, if you like, the elderly residents in the district to get in and out of Ryde. Now, that was put forward because I said, how much do you put in advertising and marketing, and where do you put it? And if you look at it, where better to put a bit of marketing than in a free minibus around the district with your telephone number on the side? Mm. Because people will support the people that support them, and that's the way that this island's got to work.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Phil's not had much to say. Do you mind if he chips in a minute, Humpty, or have you got anything you want to say, you want to add?
No, just to say that I know quite a few sort of independent councillors. I don't know the ones in question, especially the one I totally forgot and upset, and I hope he's still there. But Humpty wishes you all the very best in the election. So, just to confirm what I said, I think what you need is good, ethical people who think for themselves, and unlike certain politicians, will actually listen to other people. Doesn't mean to say you can't listen to other people and take on everyone's views, because it's impossible, isn't it? If you have one problem like bus fares, you might have, I don't know, you might have a bus driver saying, oh, we need to charge these fares because, you know, we want a wage increase. And then you might have a family who's saying, no, you know, they need to come. But at least listen to people and make a sort of balanced judgment after that. And I'm sure the independent candidates will do that.
Thanks.
And don't forget my show, 3 till 5, especially on the radio. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for your call, Humpty. Cheers.
Bye.
I think, you know, just to echo that, we need... we need some belief, we need some positivity, we need to pick ourselves up, and to do that we need to change. You know, it's not just inside County Hall that needs to change. We need to change our mentality outside, but maybe it's got to come from within. Maybe we've got to pick up that ball and we've got to roll it. Absolutely. And, you know, if we can do that, it will gather momentum. Now, Phil, you know, you're new to it.
Yeah.
What do you expect to, you know, people to say, this is what I would like you to do in your area?
Yeah, already talking to people in the ward by knocking doors and speaking to them, you get a good feedback for the problems and the issues, and also a general feel that people are ready for a change anyway. They want to change, even if they're not quite sure what they want to change into, apart from it getting better. They want to change. But the issues often are issues that affect them very close by to where they live and where they work. So all the things that we see right across the island, the problems with the roads, the potholes, the problems with dog fouling, issues of that nature that affect people badly, and they want those things looked at and addressed. And I think as independents we can all look at the issues completely clearly without any political bias whatsoever. And if we can come up with solutions and ideas and ways forward, I know that all of my independent colleagues would vote according to their own belief and not because it was a political belief that we were putting forward the ideas and the motions. So I think it's quite important. The other important thing, I think, Ian, is that, you know, twice as many people don't vote as they do in local elections. And we talk round and round and round about this, but what we need to do is to make the two-thirds of the people about 65% aware that if they want change, they're going to have to get out on polling day and make a vote. Whichever way they vote, but they've got to make a vote. Because if you do nothing, probably nothing will change.
That's true. I've always sort of said you've now got to tap into the market, if you like, and the market is the people that don't vote and haven't voted. It outweighs the people that have voted over the years. So you've got to get them out there somehow. You've got to tap into the silent majority, because that's what they are. They're the silent majority who quite clearly believe that they can't. Their vote's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
I think for the first time for me in lots of ways, Facebook's become a bit of an area where we're talking to and engaging with a different generation from the generation that tend to support the ruling group here right now, and it's quite refreshing and encouraging to get those views fed back either directly on the phone or through the Facebook. It's
definitely
refreshing.
You mentioned a couple of key issues there. You know, the dog fouling the roads as well. Obviously, this PFI thing is supposedly going to sort the roads out, although we've not seen much action yet, I don't think. I was at home last night reading the news, and, you know, 300 yards away, a woman was attacked. Last weekend, they're asking for people to come forward if they've got any details, and I'm thinking, crikey, that's 300 yards from my house, and I'm just thinking, what where are we going with all of this? I mean, you know, we've had so many blooming cutbacks because of the cutbacks police wise, because of cutbacks job wise, we're going to get more and more people offending, trying to, I don't know, steal money the easiest opportunity they can, and so on and so forth. So this ain't going to get any better. The thing that's in place, this regime that's in place, both, you know, locally and nationally, it's not going to get any better unless we start changing, a few people's attitudes. And it's not just ours and yours. It's people out there as well. But there you go. I mean, it suddenly dawned on me that the streets aren't safe. You know, you'd like to think that they are, but they're not. They're, you know, we've got a woman that was attacked, a 38-year-old woman. She might have been 42, actually. But I don't suppose she'll argue about her age. But, you know, this female was attacked on our streets, you know, and she ain't the only one. And you know, I say things need to change dramatically.
Can I just come in there, Ian, and say that as far as I'm concerned, we've got community safety officers, we've got the police, and we've got other areas within the council and the local community that are working away, and the one thing I don't seem to feel is they're working, if you like, with an amount of cohesiveness. Now, this isn't a criticism, this is just an observation from my own personal point of view. I've at this moment gone to our local area action group, which is the police committee that run with neighbourhood watch people and what have you, and suggested that in Ryde West we pilot a scheme where we bring together all those services and all those, if you like, those people with various responsibilities, such as trading standards, you know, the licensing representatives and all that, to try and actually talk together and raise the game a bit, give awareness to people, because as you're aware, we do get unlicensed builders, etc., and people that are going out and ducking and diving and causing grief to some households. We also do get a situation with, if you like, alcohol abuse with old and young. We get so many different facets to our local life, and really, we have to start somewhere to actually talk to people and give people, if you like, one, the support that they need, two, a little bit of reassurance, which is what they need, and three, actually telling them which service and avenue to go to. And those are things that really don't cost. And then what we've got to do on top of that is start to look and see ways in which we can invest money if you like, through, if we're talking local authority, which we are here, looking at the ways that our community safety officers and our, you know, people like that can actually come forward and assist in a more, if you like, upbeat way. And that's no disrespect to them, because without a doubt, when or if we actually take, and I say when we actually take control of the Isle of Wight Council, we will have to do a root and branch review of service, if you like, that is given, and the amount of money that we're paying into those services to make sure we're getting value for money and making sure that making sure there is money there.
Mm. Sure. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with maybe one more call, but we've got some questions coming in via email and Facebook, so we'll do those. Quick break, 16 minutes to 1.
Vectis Radio, home of the Isle of Wight phone-in. Call now.
Internet connection sounding like this? Cripes! Jolly well talk to Wight Fibre. They're the island's first fibre optic broadband supplier. That's right, sir. A local company with technical support in cows. And listen to this spiffing offer. This month, new customers can get the Fibre 10 megabyte package with 3 months free anytime calls, plus line rental and broadband, installation and a wireless router, all completely free. Terms and conditions apply. Remember,
WhiteFibre.com.
Hi, I'm Kay from Fit to Relax. I'd like you to come and see why we are different. At the Fit to Relax gym, you are guaranteed a welcome and friendly atmosphere and more of an enjoyable way to exercise. With only 8 people per session, we are able to provide a more personal and individual approach. Open daytimes, weekends and evenings. Why not give us a call and arrange your induction? You won't regret it and it could change your life. Call us on 07838 196746 or email us on fitrelax@hotmail.com to arrange an induction. Look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
I know about the Green Deal, and I'm looking forward to cheaper energy bills.
I know about the Green Deal. I'm looking forward to replacing this old boiler.
I know about the Green Deal. I'm looking forward to a warmer bedroom.
The Green Deal is a new scheme which could let you pay for home improvements through savings on your energy bill. And your doorway to the Green Deal is Eco Island. To find out more, go online and search for Eco Island Green Deal or call 822-385. Green Deal is a government initiative from the Department of Energy and Climate Change, supported by the Isle of Wight Council.
Need to hire a car? Value Rental Cars offer a wide range of vehicles, from small three-door cars to people carriers. They have cars available for rental from under £18 a day. Value Rental Car also offer 15-seater minibus hire on the Isle of Wight, starting from just £70 a day. Value Rental Car are based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight and has a secure online booking service. Log on to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone on 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
There's a real buzz in the air. Local businesses are joining Wight Buzz for network and full business support. Try before you buy. Membership costs £10 per month. That's just the same as a cup of coffee per week. Lots of advertising opportunities included. Call Lynn on 07779 239 122 or go to www.whitebuzz.co.uk.
That's better. Wight Fibre, the local fibre optic broadband supplier. Challenge us to beat your current deal.
WhiteFibre.com.
Vectis Radio, home of the Isle of Wight phone-in. Call now.
All right, it's 12 minutes to 1. Hopefully we get just one more call, but we've got a couple of questions. We've got we've got Ian Stevens in, Lord Stevens, Vinnie Valvona, and also Phil Jordan, who's now had a word in edgeways. And we've still got lots of things to talk about. We haven't touched on the ferries yet, but I want to talk about that in a while. But Dean Hodges has been in touch, and he says, "Hi, Ian, could you ask if they have any ideas as to how we can get the high streets around the Isle of Wight more appealing? And would they open the tourist information centres? This was lost last year. So you guys are in Ryde.
I mean,
I used to live in Ryde, and I haven't been there for a long time. But I very rarely go into Ryde now. But I know that there's been a lot of work done, but there's still a lot to be done. So I mean, how can you get? Let's start with the high street first. How can you get people back in the high street? How can we get it looking like a proper high street again?
Well, the literal high street is obviously in Phil's actual ward, but we obviously have to work together. We can't in Ryde, for example, compete with Newport because all the big firms, big stores have gone over there. So I think what we have to do is have special shops. We got people like the Chocolate Apothecary, and we got the Chili Place, and we got lots of little niches and specialist places and bars and restaurants, and that's where we need to be focusing our attention.
Old Silver Fox over there wants to get a word in.
Yeah, my wife opened a shop. I'm going to declare an interest here.
You've done it. There's a couple of councillors out there who keep that interest a secret.
They probably don't invest in their high street as they should do.
Yeah.
My wife opened a shop in November. It's doing well. Say no more than that on that one. But what the situation is that as soon as she opened, she got a bill. Business rates, you know. Now, to be quite candid, we've got to start to look at the way that we actually put forward our bills and invoices for rating and paying bills and council tax, etc. We've got to provide incentive. We've got to actually make sure that people are taken forward with, as I've said so many times, we put forward an idea in a budget where we were going to use £48,000 worth of business rates that was going into empty warehousing around the island. We were going to allow those as business start-up for the over 50s. And we were going to then put £150,000 into grant funding for local business. Now, those were the things we were going to do. We were also going to obviously put the £300,000 into youth unemployment and bursaries for our talented children or talented students to go to uni. These were the things that were going to be put in place. We need to revisit that and see if we can move that forward. But we're looking to actually invite people to come into the high streets and take on the empty shops and assist them for that first year, which is crucial. It's very crucial to actually make sure that they've got a little bit of a leeway so that they can get their marketing right and find their niche market. And I think that what Vincent quite rightly said was that possibly we need to look at the areas and say, well, that needs to be boutique type business, that needs to be larger business, and we need to work accordingly. What we need to do, therefore, is to work with the local business associations and the town and parish councils around this island. Each area is special, each area is different, and we haven't got that link at the moment through County Hall. We've parished the whole island, and what we ended up doing was we withdrew and we closed the department down. And what we should have done was kept that open. And we would, if elected, we would start up that department. We'd bring in a modern day apprentice to work alongside whoever, and make sure that we started to, if you like, link in with our town and parish councils and our local business associations. Most important to actually start to revitalise the town centres.
Okay, it leads on to the next question from Roger Sanders, who says, are you going to do anything to help people that are driving into the town, parking and so on and so forth?
Same thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's quite clear. I was going to say to add to what Ian just said, part of the problem and part of the other link in the chain is to ensure that people can come into those shops. So we want to encourage people to start businesses. But we need people to be able to shop there. And we know that the big supermarkets outside of Ryde encourage people because there's free parking and so on. And sell a whole range of goods. What we need to be doing is looking at a complete island-wide parking strategy. And one thing that we certainly need to look at is the cost of the island parking permit, which in one fell swoop went from £75 per year to £500 per year, and saw a decline of the use of the car in Ryde, specifically in the two car parks in around St Thomas Street. And you can go there on some days, and it's more than half empty. It's empty, and those cars are parked out on the street. but on road parking, not paying for parking meters and so on. So we have to look at the parking in the retail areas, the way people park and how they can park, and make it easier and if possible less expensive.
It's difficult to, you know, I say I could walk down the town because I live in the town, but it puts me off going to Ryde. I've got to be honest with you. Yeah. It puts me off going to any town centre because it's a pain to park. And not only that, it's too expensive to Bloomingwell Park. A couple of years ago, the council ran this scheme where if you had you didn't buy a gas guzzler, you had a small engined car, you could park free, which of course was a great idea. I went out and bought me small car, me under 1,000cc. And of course, they changed the blooming ruling, didn't they? Yeah, yeah. I wish I'd have gone back. Where's the incentive for me now? I want to go back to my gas guzzler. You know, it was easy for me to park. It was frustrating. So it's got to go both ways. We've got to, you know, obviously, we need to make a little bit of money, but we need to be fair about it so we can encourage people to go into the town, into these places. So, yeah, definitely, we need to do something. Are you ready for a last call?
Could I? Yeah.
Hi, who's this?
Sonny, me again, with your car parking thing, why don't you turn it round the other way? If you go in there, you go into a car park, you take a ticket. If you've been in there over 2 hours, then you get charged, then you get a ticket. So you've got free parking for 2 hours.
Sort of, I mean, we've had several ideas on this. I mean, I even thought of maybe in, say, Newport where they charge, you say, yeah, you have 90 minutes or so, perhaps once a day you can get 90 minutes free. Then after that, it's quite high charge to encourage people to come in, do their shopping and go.
Exactly.
So that it's actually shared out.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Give them 2 hours, let them get a ticket out of that little thing, but then when the old meter bloke goes round, if you're over the 2 hours... then slap a £50 on him.
Yeah, so something like that, or you charge him like £5-10 an hour. But so you, it's not prohibitive if you make a mistake and you go over by a little while. But yeah, it's to encourage people get in, do your business, use the town, and then go.
That'll open
it
up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks,
right,
you're cool.
See you later, chap.
Cheers.
Thanks.
I've got to ask you, because there's lots of stuff, and we've only got like 2 or 3 minutes left. I want to ask you, massively, it's a problem, it's an issue for most people, ferries. Is there a way that the Isle of Wight can feel like they're not being robbed? Is there a way that people that are coming to the Isle of Wight, they're encouraged because the prices aren't X and so on and so forth? It's a problem that everyone's got. Is there, how much clout would you have if you got voted in? How much change could you bring?
I wouldn't like to give false hope. This is the big thing. We're realists, independents. But what I would like to say is that we would start to talk and talk to the ferries. That includes Red Funnel and White Link. We would start to look at, and once again with a route and branch review, we would have to look at what we're paying out in transport costs anyway. I think that, you know, we should be able to turn things round, especially for local residents, because I think, to me, we need to do something that is agreeable to the local residents but affordable. Now, we also need to look at our tourism offering, and when we're looking at that, some of the hotels and guest houses have that ferry deal rolled in. Now, we need to look at that. I'd be firing from the hip, as far as I'm concerned, until we actually move things forward, until we actually speak with those providers,
sure,
we wouldn't like to come out with anything like that. Can
you,
I just
but you are going to address it, though?
We would address it.
Which is good.
We would definitely address that, and the same way as, quite rightly, Phil mentioned about parking, an island-wide wide parking strategy. There isn't one at the moment. Now, there should be, but we should be taking on the business associations and indeed the parish councils, because each area is different.
Okay. Obviously, time's running out. Sorry. Now we've started Phil off. He can't stop now. Why should we vote in independence? The election on May the 2nd, why should we vote for Ian Stevens? What area are you in, Ian?
I'm in Ryde West.
Ryde West. Why should we vote for you?
Because you can trust me to actually do the job that I'm put in there for, in an honest and transparent way, and you can address it. You know damn well that I can address these things in a way that the Isle of Wight can afford, and not blur it with a U-turn here and a U-turn there. We need sound policies, but we also need to work with the island community and work with the talent within the island. So the island's a fantastic place. We don't need to spend a fortune on selling it. All we need to do is, if you like, focus the money that we're utilising at the moment in the right direction. Thank you.
Okay, and Phil Jordan, well, I mean, why should where are you standing, first of all?
I'm so in Ryde Northwest.
Ryde Northwest, and why should we vote for you?
That's because I'm going to bring some fresh, clearer ideas to it, and any decisions and motions that I would bring forward would be without any political bias whatsoever. They'd be just based on what the residents of my ward particularly, but Ryde in general, because we're working together as a group, would want us to bring forward and do for them. There'd be no politics involved. One final thing, personally, and I know as a group, we could all work with our MP, Andrew Turner. Whatever his political colour is, we will work with him. That's something this current administration seem unable to do.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing that, you know, they don't actually get on. I mean, you can't have a system. That's half of what this system is all about, working together. You just said it there, working together. I like that. And lastly, Vincent Valvona, the actor-to-be. You are going to be a big boss actor with a name like that.
But not in government at all. I won't be acting then. I'll be doing the job for real.
Where are you standing, first of all? Let's just confirm that.
Ryde Northeast.
Ryde Northeast.
And I will listen to my constituents, and I will always vote in their best interest, no matter what policy I'm voting on, and we all agree on that. We are expected, even if we come up with our own policies which we feel are in the best interest of the island as a whole, if any of us thinks that it's not in our own particular constituents' best interest, we are expected to vote against it. No one will be reprimanded for it. On the contrary, we work for our own constituents first and foremost. That's what we do.
Okay, Vincent, thank you. Phil, thank you. And thank you. Ian, thank you. I just want to say that, you know, there is an alternative. Come May the 2nd, there is an alternative. And if you want change, you've got to go for the alternative. It's as simple as that.
Go for the alternative, go for independence. And it's as simple as that. I mean, if you want change, if you want positive change is the way forward. We've had cuts for quite a while now. And to me, sometimes the cuts should have actually been just altering a little bit direction and actually looking to help evolving the services and not these dramatic slashes and cuts. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck on May the 2nd.